chapter 1 and verse number 14. Chapter 1 of the book of Acts and verse number 14. And I want to thank everybody for the offerings that they gave me. I've got dessert, I got a cake, I got jelly beans, and got some money to take Sister Janie out to eat. And well, it's just been a wonderful revival. Every once in a while, Pastor likes to change his coat and be an evangelist just so he can get an offering. Amen. So we had a wonderful time with the offerings. I'm still eating jelly beans, got plenty of them for a while, and still got some dessert, but working on it, and won't be around long. And we certainly appreciate your thoughtfulness and kindness to us. Amen. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brethren. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Father, bless the reading of your word and stand by me, for I am in need of your presence and in need of your power and of your grace. I cannot do this without divine help, and I understand it, and I do not question. I have done it and know that you are the reason that I can do it. So I pray that you will stand by me, that I may feed the flock of God of which you have given me the oversight. Amen. Yielding ourselves to him. Listen to these words. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. These all continued in one accord. It is one of those wonderful verses of Scripture where you see into it the depths of the Holy Ghost in the simple fact that He summarizes it all up in just one sentence and makes it such a pertinent example of what a church should be in revival, and the reason that revival will come and be lingering. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. It shows us here that there is no need for Catholicism to say that Mary was a sinless person. For here, Mary is not only mentioned among the supplicants to God, but she's also mentioned with them, and she there too must come into that one accord. These all continued, Mary, Jesus' brethren, and all of the 120 that's in the upper room. You see, it's a simple thing for us to ask ourselves the question, well, can Pentecost actually be brought into our day? Can we have the same lasting revival as they did? And the answer to that question is a resounding yes. We can have a Pentecostal revival, and it can be a lasting Pentecostal revival. This revival will last one century. It will not just last a day, a week, a month, a year. It will last one century. It will start on the day of Pentecost. It will continue till every book in the New Testament has been written. It will continue till the Apostle Paul has been saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. It will continue till the gospel has gone to Rome and to the uttermost parts of the earth. You see, that revival was sparked at Pentecost, but it didn't die at Pentecost. It lived on. It lived on to establish a church. It lived on to establish a fellowship. This revival is the melting pot in which human souls will be poured. They start out with 120. Am I doing my math right? 120. That's what's in the upper room. We're talking about these all continued. We're talking about 120 men and women together. In that midst was 11 disciples and the mother of Jesus and his brethren. Amen. That's the start. But then you'll go on to find that when the day of Pentecost comes, God adds 3,000. And then he continues to add to the church daily such as should be saved. And you'll find the church is an active church. It's up and at them. They go into churches, and not only do they do that, but they go into house by house. They go out and take this gospel into the houses of people. And they have church in homes as well as have it at church. And again, the breakdown of it, of our day is the simple fact that we have relegated church just to the church building. We have very little church anymore at home. The closest we get to church at home is a CD player or a radio preacher. But really, we are to get enough Pentecost in us that we start a church right in our house. How can we expect backslidden husbands to be brought back to God except there be a Pentecost in our home? How can we expect wayward children or a wayward wife to come back to God except there be Pentecost in our home? The Holy Ghost that worked this first miracle must work this miracle also. You cannot have Pentecost without the Holy Ghost. You cannot have church without the Holy Ghost. You cannot have help without the Holy Ghost. You cannot have healing without the Holy Ghost. Amen. So here we are with this group of people, and all of it is finding its way verbally in an expression of prayer. They are praying. They are not just saying prayer, they are praying. How many know that when you really get hooked up to prayer, prayer brings words to your mouth? Now, I know that some folks will say, "Well, Brother Benny, I'd rather pray quiet." That's okay, but it's not the way the church prays. When we pray verbally. When we pray with connection. When we pray with fervency. When we pray and prayer comes flowing out. "It shall be in you as living water, springing up, flowing out of you as rivers of living water." Now that's the way the Holy Ghost intends. That's the purpose and the plan of the Holy Ghost, is to get inside of you and become a power so powerful that you can't dam it up. It shall flow out of your innermost being, what you are. That's where it wants to get, right down in the very where you are, right where you essentially are, what you are. That's where the Holy Ghost wants to get. He doesn't want just to be showy. He don't want you just to look like you are something. Amen. These last days, they said they shall have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. What is that form? That's looking the part. But what is the power? It's an inward grace that comes by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. An inward grace that turns you into a powerhouse. Amen. That turns the power switch on in your life. When you said, "Brother Benny, I've heard all this before," I'm glad you have, because now I'm going to scold you and say, "Why aren't you doing it? Be not a hearer of the word, but a doer." If you've got such a repertoire of sermons that you've heard, you need to put you another book on the press, and that book called "I'm Doing It." "I'm doing it, preacher. I'm doing it." Oh yeah, I meant it. You see, it's not enough in our day to go around acting like we know so much. We need to act this thing out. We need to become part of what the Holy Ghost is doing. I want to talk to you tonight about prayer. It's so natural for us to pray. When you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it is natural for you to pray. It's just as natural for you to pray as it is for you to breathe. And it's a continual prayer. It's not just a prayer that's prayed once every 6 months. It's a prayer that's going to be continually on your lips. Amen. Now look, prayer is always in the Bible. It's always there, and it always is continual. It is never said to pray one time. It is that you should pray continually, that men ought to pray and faint not. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Well, there's unity in prayer. And that's what we need to find, the unity in prayer. These all continued with one accord in prayer. Jesus gives us the response that should be given to every one of us when we join him in prayer. Listen to what Jesus said. If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Have you ever put that to the test? Most of us have companions. We are a pair. We have a companion. We are to be able to turn a home into a powerhouse. All it takes is two. Let me read you the contract again. Can I read you the contract again? Here it is. If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they ask, they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. There's the contract. The Holy Ghost is going to put that contract into an active contract if he can get you and your companion to agree. That's all it asks. Surely we can get in one accord for an hour. Remember what Jesus asked his disciples in the garden as he come back looking for them to be praying with him? And he found them sleeping and not praying in such a critical hour. He moved towards them and somehow got their attention and said, could you not watch with me 1 hour? He was facing a 24-hour period of such critical mass to him. He was going to be denied, criticized, ostracized, beaten, spit upon, his beard plucked from his face. He was going to be beaten with a rod, crowned with thorns. He was going to end up nailed to a tree. And there he turned to men to watch with him in that critical 1 hour period so that he could have grace to go through. He came back 3 times to find them doing the same thing, sleeping. Now, if the Lord Jesus himself could not get people to agree, especially men that have been with him 3 years, he could not get them to agree with him. And therefore, he was given up into the hands of those cruel and wicked men that murdered him. When the disciples finally decided that they would deliver their king, Peter drew a sword, cut off a man's ear. Jesus had to put the ear back on and tell Peter to put up the sword. Thinkest thou not that I can at this time pray my Father and he will give me 12 legions of angels? Jesus said, it's not out of control, but I wanted you to understand that if you would have joined me in prayer, things would have went a lot more smoother for Peter and John and all the other disciples. Dr. James Little tells the story of the 1857 revival in New York City area. He just found one scripture. The story goes that this one man found one scripture, and it says, turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. This is all he done. He just started desiring to have a prayer meeting, and he started asking others to join him. He didn't go out and ask them.
he put a little card in the window of a room on Fulton Street, which read, "If anyone is interested to pray for revival, come in and join me." The story goes that the first day he prayed alone. Then others began to join him until the room became too small. The burden for revival had begun to spread until hundreds had caught the spirit of intercession and supplication. Dr. Little in his story relates that soon after the winds of God began to blow, 250,000 souls were swept into the kingdom of God in a few weeks. One man started by hanging a card in his window. "If you're interested in praying for revival, will you please join me?" And God honored one man. Don't tell me it can't be done. Don't tell me revival can't sweep a city. It can, if we can learn intercession. Amen. God honors unity in prayer. If we would see the need, then we would become fervent in prayer. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Prayer is always, always, the connotation of it is waiting upon God. Whereupon supplication, success, the beseeching and the petitioning of the aspects of intercession. That prayer is waiting upon God. Supplication is making your request, your petitions, known to God. Laying hold of God. Not letting go, not letting up until something happens. This is how Elijah prayed when he prayed in the book of James. And James recorded down and said, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." The devil can't stop you when you pray. Glory. In fact, when you take up prayer, the Holy Ghost will come closer to you any other time. Closer than when you're dancing, shouting, reading the scripture. When you're on your knees in prayer, he will come to you with groanings and moanings that cannot be uttered. And the Bible said, "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man, but unto God." There is a language the devil cannot interpret. There is a power in prayer that man has never found the depths and the width of yet. And if a church will pray, revival will continue. The kinds of praying. Sometimes it involves fasting, discipline, persistence. Luke records a prayer meeting of in the 12th chapter of the book of Acts. This is what it says. Prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God. Why? Because Peter was in prison. And such were the fervency and faithfulness of the praying of that church that before the night was out, Peter was delivered from his prison cells and released to preach again. Right. Amen. Are you all out there this night? Amen. Are you all out there tonight? Are you out there tonight? Are you sure you're here? Have you got here yet? Hurry up and get here because I'm going to be done preaching and you're just going to get here. Sometimes you're sitting there, but your mind is not here. Now come on up here with me because I am feeling the necessity for you to listen to me preach to you tonight about how to keep this revival going. Why start it if we're only going to put it out ourselves? Why go to the trouble of building a fire if we're not going to cut wood to keep the fire going? And where there is no wood, the fire goes out. Now, if you expect somebody to go out and cut your wood for you, you're going to die of cold. If you want fire, cut the wood. How are we going to cut wood? You say spiritually, cutting wood is prayer. We're cutting down everything that hinders us, getting it out of the way so we can make a release of the prisoners that the devil has taken. We need to go rescue them. We need to proceed out on a rescue mission. Your children are not going to be turned loose of the devil until somebody greater gets in the situation. But when that greater one gets in the situation, he'll break the yoke by his anointing. He'll set the captives free. He'll kick down the prison door. He'll do whatever it takes to get them out of prison. But that is always accompanied by a praying church. Peter was in prison for preaching. So when he got out, he went back to preaching. The angel got him out to the street, but then Peter went back to the church. And that's always the way it's got to be. No matter how great the act of God is, we've got to come back to who we are. We are the church. The church may not even realize that God's answered their prayer, but they got to come back to church. So Peter came back to deliver the church a message. Hey, I'm out.
Right.
Amen. The black preacher preached Rhoda wasn't wrong. He said, Rhoda ain't wrong. That's Peter at the door. You're not dreaming. That's an answer to prayer. You prayed, God worked. You prayed, God heard. You prayed, God sent. You prayed, God released. And it is that way, always will be that way, cannot be any other way. When the church prays, God will hear. When the church prays, God will act. When the church prays, God will deliver. When the church prays, God will move heaven in order to make a way for His church. Amen. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That was the end result of our verse. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and the mother of Jesus and with his brethren. They continued until the day of Pentecost was fully come. They prayed all night. They prayed all day. They prayed all week. They prayed on. They prayed through the evil. They prayed through the jealousy. They prayed through the big isms and the big egos. Amen. They prayed until they become one. Now let me preach to you now. Peter had a problem. And so did James and so did John. They argued among themselves about who will be the greatest in this kingdom. And they said, who will sit on his right hand and who will sit on his left hand? The day of Pentecost settled that. They finally got in one accord to where there's no big I and little you. That it's all on equal ground when we go to pray. Come on now. You say, I can pray better than you. You can't pray better than me because you can't pray for me. You can pray that God will help me, but if I pray, I got to pray myself. That's why L.L. Collins wrote that song, if I'm going to pray, if I have to pray by myself. Because ain't nobody going to do your praying for you. If you're going to pray and join the church, then you got to begin to learn that nobody can outpray anybody else. Amen. Hallelujah. For prayer is not length. Prayer is not eloquence. Prayer is not knowledge. Prayer is asking. Amen. And if you don't think that there is power in asking, just take one of these little babies that we got here. Like Sister Brooke's little baby. Now, let that little baby start crying and squirming. It'll make mama nervous. It'll make the grandma or great-grandma nervous. Amen. It'll make everybody nervous. Amen. And we'll keep looking until we can fix what's got the baby tore up. If it has to go be tended to, somebody's going to get up, pick up the baby, and go and take care of it. And then when the baby is satisfied, they come back and sit down. That's all in asking. Now, does that baby write a note and say, Mama, I need this? Does that baby, amen, have a language that it can talk to its mama? No. All it has to do in its own way is ask. And that mama knows when it's asking. Can I get an amen? Surely, surely you can understand that prayer is asking. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. And knock and it shall be opened unto you. Anybody can ask. Sometimes it's just in the way we look.
Right.
Sometimes it's just in the way we groan. Sometimes it's just in the way that we walk. That's all right there. We know by the more that we love somebody, the more sensitive we become to them. We can look at their face and know there's a need. We can tell if there's pain there or worry there, or if we can tell there if there's something amiss there. All of it is just written right there in the face. And God knows every one of His children. You don't even have to make a sound. God knows. I said, God knows. Prayer is not lint. Prayer is not repetition. Amen. Prayer is that part of us that reaches up towards God. Amen. I wish somebody would say amen. Hallelujah. There's unity in prayer. There's fervency in prayer. And there is power in prayer. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
These all continued in prayer and supplication. Jesus said men ought to always pray and faint not. Pray without ceasing, said the Apostle Paul. Prayer is not only activity. Prayer is an attitude. We cannot always go around praying, but we can have a prayerful attitude. Amen. Lightfoot, that great bishop, said, it is not the moving of the lips in the elevation, but in the elevation of the heart to God that is the essence of prayer consists. Pray without ceasing. It is not the moving of the lips, but it is the elevation of the heart to God that is the essence of prayer consist. It is not possible for us to spend all our time with words of prayer on our lips, but it is possible for us to be all our day in the spirit of prayer, realizing our dependence upon God for all that we have, and are realizing something of His presence with us that we may be, amen, always yielding ourselves continually to Him for the doing of His will. And it is all an inward state. It's not the getting down and lighting a candle. It's not standing on the street corner tooting a horn. If you really want to get serious about prayer, it's shutting the door on the closet, shutting the whole world out, and getting along with God, and that's an attitude. I wish somebody would help me preach. Amen. It is that powerful, natural continuance that every child of God has. You're given it at birth. I didn't know how to pray till I got saved. Oh, sure, as a sinner, I said, oh God, if you'll get me out of this, I won't get back in trouble. I was lying when I was saying it. When I got changed, my prayer life changed.
All right.
Every child of God gets the ability to pray when they learn how to be born again.
Right.
When that change comes into you, you automatically learn how to pray. You may not be able to pray like other people pray, but that's not expected of you. You are to pray as God has given you the ability.
Right.
Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Oh, I wish you'd help me preach. You see, it's all of this. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's the Pentecostal power. In the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, you'll find that the Bible teaches us all about speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is not one of the great gifts of the Spirit. It is the essential gift of the Spirit. It's the one God picked out to establish a norm for His children. So that we would all know when somebody got the Holy Ghost. They will either speak in tongues or they will prophesy. Now for all you folks that's going to tell me, well, bless God, I've had the Holy Ghost, I don't speak in tongues. I want to know, did He die? The God I serve talks. He's not mute. He don't have a mute switch on Him. The only way you can keep Him from talking to you is sin. Grieve Him. Vex Him. He'll shut up. But woe be unto you. It won't be well with you. Because afterwards He's going to take you into a session of chastening. Till you will plead for God to come talk to you again. Prayer is not only talking to God, it's listening to God. Prayer is not a one-way street. We just don't send it up. There's got to be a coming back. Amen. Oh, I wish you'd help me. You see, this last night is important because I am trying to instruct you and tell you that this revival don't have to end. If it ends, we end it. It is not His will for it to end. He would like to start this and keep it going till He comes for His church. How many know we need an active Holy Ghost in order to qualify for the rapture? We need somebody to change us in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. If you think you can do that without Him, you got another thing coming. Somebody needs to shout amen to that. You're not getting out of here without divine help. You're not getting out of here without somebody able to take you out of here. You've got to have help. So I'm trying to tell you how to build that help. Build yourself up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. That means that you've got to get a prayer life. The tongues that you receive when you get baptized with the Holy Ghost should be converted into power of prayer. You should learn how to pray in the Spirit. You should learn to cut the devil off so he can't eavesdrop on your prayers. You need to pray, amen, until you know that you have hooked up with the Holy Ghost. Praying through to an old-timer was praying through to the Holy Ghost. When they spoke in tongues, they felt like God had said yes. When they prayed about something and the Spirit of God came upon them, they said, "Thank you, Lord." And they stood up in faith and didn't doubt that their prayer had been heard and that God would keep His word. Whatever you ask the Father in My name, He will do it. Whatever you ask in My name, I will do it. Amen. So here tonight, I'm trying to tell you again, just like if you ever get a chance and Rodney ever finds a copy of the tape that they put out about his grandpa, Frank Boyd, a praying man. Down there at Richlands, they would ask Frank Boyd to stand up and pray before Sunday school, and that's as far as it ever got. He would pray and the Holy Ghost would fall. He had such a hookup with God that he could pray and the Holy Ghost would fall on his prayer. People would be blessed just because that man prayed. Now, God is no respecter person. What He done for Frank Boyd, He can do for Rodney Boyd. Amen. And what He done for Frank Boyd, He can do for you. And that should be your whole intent, that we should pray until somebody sees that the most important thing for your life is for the edifying of the body of Christ, getting us ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost, when I was a young man, spoke more about the coming of the Lord than He did any other matter. Amen. I remember the first message I heard in tongues, and interpretation was, behold, I stand at the door. I got scared. I got shook up. I got my head on straight. I said, Lord, you're not playing, are you? This is not the kind of church that I thought it was. I said, you're at the door, then that means I better be ready. It set my feet on a straight path. It put a going in my heart. It put something in me that nothing else could. Again it would speak and said, I'm coming soon. Be prepared, I'm coming soon. I've been waiting 40 some years. But when the Holy Ghost really gets on me, my mind goes back to those words of warning and exhortation. You had better be praying, you had better be right, and you had better be ready. Three things that a church must do. You had better be white, you had better be right, you had better be praying, and you had better be prepared. You are not going unless you are right. You are not going unless you are praying. And you're not going unless you are prepared. Praying will get you prepared. And praying and preparedness will keep you right. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Does this revival have to end? The answer to that is no. Amen. Last night while I was preaching, if you can call it preaching, I haven't done any preaching for such a long time, I don't know that I am qualified to preach anymore. It just seemed like a rattle and ramble. Amen. But while I was rattling and ramble, the Holy Ghost that I was preaching about got a hold of Fred. Amen. While I was preaching, amen, it got a hold of us. While I was preaching, it got a hold of Nathan. Amen. And I can tell you tonight that the Holy Ghost wants to and will continue to get a hold of us if we will by faith receive the word. This message will do you no good unless you believe it. You'll put it down in your old notebook if you keep a score. Said Brother Benny preached good. Thank you. Thank you very much. That don't do you no good. You got to believe what I'm preaching. You got to believe the Word of God. The Holy Ghost is ready to baptize every one of these young men, every one of these young women, every one of our older men, every one of our older women, everyone that's here under the sound of my voice. The Holy Ghost is ready tonight to fill you with His power. He's ready tonight to fall on you and turn your life around. He is ready tonight, amen, because it is a gift and the Father has sent Him to give it. He is ready to give that gift to whosoever will ask. He is ready to dispense that gift of power to each one of us so that we can learn how to pray again, so that we can learn how to support one another again, so that we can learn how to love one another again. And I tell you, I feel the power of God when I tell you this, that He's ready! He's ready! He's ready! He's ready! He's ready! If we had a ready heart, if we had a ready mind, if we were praying and prepared, He's ready! He's ready to heal our sick! He's ready! Glory! Somebody out there shout glory.
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 Oh Lord, I need it. Oh Lord, I need it. Oh Lord, I need it. We're getting about the Holy Ghost like we are about gas. We're beginning to say, boy, it's costing a whole lot. I better put in this just a little bit. Rather than getting full, now we begin to count out how much it's going to cost us. Well, the cost remains the same. Believe the promise. Jesus said to His disciples, I am going to go away. And if I go away, I will pray the Father, and He shall send you another Comforter. Can anybody agree with that? Any Bible readers out there agree with that? Did Jesus say He would pray the Father? Did Jesus say he would pray the Father for another comforter? Come on now, raise your hand and vote with me. Did Jesus say he'd pray the Father? Did he say he'd pray the Father that the Father give us another comforter? Amen. One just like him? Then I want you to know the prayer's been answered. The Holy Ghost is here. It's been here for 2,000 years. It's not waiting on coming. It's not tarrying His coming. They tarried at the day of Pentecost because He was on the way. But they didn't tarry when He got there. They got up. They got under. They went out in the street. They preached. They prophesied. They had church. And the Lord added to the church. I want you to know the day of tarrying is over. This is a day of receiving. We had the former rain back in the 40s, 30s. Amen. All the way back into the early 1900s, we had the former rain. That's what church history books are written about. The revivals that happened in the former rain. But He not only promised us the former rain, but the latter rain. I wasn't there when it fell then, but I'm here when it's fallen now. I wasn't there when that happened, but I'm here and it's happening now. Thank God for the latter rain, the pouring out of His Spirit upon all flesh. Woo! Believe it. Believe it. Believe it. Believe it. You believe it? You can have it tonight. No, we're not going to take you down to the basement and teach you how to talk in tongues. We're not going to come up here and pour oil over your head and tell you how to do it. We're going to just tell you, you are right where it's happening. And if you want it, you can have it. And if you don't want it, you can do without it. But you won't make it out of here without it. You can come to church and pay your tithes. You can sing in the choir. You can do a lot of things without it. But you're not going to go to heaven without it. He is the friend of the bridegroom. He's going to take the bride by the arm and lead her right to Jesus Christ and present her to the Lord, faultless, without blame, without blemish, or any such thing. Amen. He is the friend of the bridegroom. He is now preparing a bride. Hallelujah. And His intentions is to brick her out in white. Amen. Have her anointed. Have her presentable so that when Jesus steps out on the clouds, she'll meet Him in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Now you can make it without it. You can go to every church. If you don't like this one, you can go to another one. But I'm going to tell you, my friend, you'll not go to heaven without being right with God. And how are you going to not be right with God grieving His Spirit? How can you be right with God vexing His Spirit? How can you be right with God always resisting stiff-necked people? You always resist the Holy Ghost. That was said to Israel. Ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. It's time to quit it. It's time to yield. It's time to humble ourselves and say to God, I need it more than I need anything. Fall on us, Lord. Bring our wayward children back home. Fall on us, Lord, and turn our homes into chapels. Fall on us, Lord, and make our marriage a partnership where we can pray together, work together, and turn back our hearts to God. Fall on us, Lord. Fall on us, Lord. Fall on us, Lord. Fall on me and fall on my wife and fall on my children and fall on my grandchildren. Fall on my home, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, he's in his house. I said he's in his house. Thank God he's in his house. Obey him. Mason, obey him. Don't worry about nobody else. You and Jesus. He wants to baptize you tonight. Amen. Amen. For you, you, and you. It's for you. For you tonight, right now, right now, right now, right now. For you, and you, and you. It's for you. It's a gift waiting. I asked Brother Nathan last night, I said, now, Brother Nathan, if I had a $5 bill and I pulled it out and I said, Nathan, would you like this $5 bill? It's a gift. You know what Nathan said with that angelic grin of his? Yeah. I said, the Holy Ghost is the same way. It's a gift. Do you believe I've got it? That's all he's saying. Do you believe I've got it? If you believe in the Holy Ghost that he's got it, then come get it. It's a gift. Come receive it from him. It's a gift. Come give him your life. It's a gift. The anointing is real. It's a gift. Stand with me. If I was a singer, which I'm not, maybe Brother Ivan will come sing it. For me, Brother Ivan, do you know that old song? It's all over me and it's keeping me alive. Do you? Some of it? Come sing what you know of it. I know you're tired. It's hard to combat tardiness. It really is. We've been 3 weeks, just about 3 weeks into this meeting. We're tired. Some of us is getting over sickness. But that doesn't change his power. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you want it? Do you want it? Do you want it? Do you really want it? Do you really want it? That's the answer that you got to come up with. You got to make up your mind. Do you really want it? If you really want it, it's for you. Go ahead, Brother Ivan.
It's all over me, and it's keeping me alive.